This morning, greet each one. If we have any visitors, good to have you with us. I mean, I don't think this song is in the book, but it's in B flat. We all probably know it. Thankfully, he holds tomorrow, no matter what it is. Amen. Oh, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day. Turn to gray, and I don't pass by me, and the path that be my thankful we have an anchor that we can hold to. Amen. We have some testimonies. Sister Shirley Ephraims, we had prayed Wednesday night. There was a young girl that was missing. Said, thank you for praying for my friend's missing daughter. She has been found. Praise the Lord. God is he's a healer, and he can take care of it all. Amen. Amen. And we have some requests this morning. Brother Attila and family are traveling. Remember them. And please remember Sister Denise Bryant's mother, Mariola Sisk, in prayer. She's going for a bone marrow hip test on Monday. And Sister Grace Epling's not feeling well. Please remember Brother Ron Spencer in prayer for a complete recovery. Update from Brother Trevor and Brother Gerald. He's a brother from UK that we've been, pastor from UK we've been praying for. He is stable, still in an induced coma and on a ventilation. Please continue to remember him in prayer. And Sister Wanda Keith fell last night, twisted her foot and bruised up her knee and chest. Please keep her in prayer. Also, Sister Dottie Bryant has been having symptoms that the doctor says are a result of blood pressure medicine she has been on. So they're making changes to that. Please remember Sister Di this morning in prayer. And also remember Brother Joshua and Sister Esther in prayer. They're not feeling well. And Brother Sam Ventura, would you make your way this? And any unspoken requests this morning, I lifted the hand. Lord, just come on us, Lord. We may not have nothing important, but we always need him. Amen. Touch us this morning. Remember Brother Nathan this morning, and just Lord, help us to receive. It's a little bit of it seems like a lot of nervous time out there. People, you get around anyone, they're not really wanting to get near you and stuff. And we're thankful we can just go to the Lord. Amen. He can just meet our every need. Praise the Lord.
Let's bow our heads and our hearts. Our precious Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be in your house this morning. We thank you, Lord, for inviting us to your wedding supper, Lord. And what a privilege, Lord. People we are, Lord Jesus, and we're so grateful, Lord, though it's dark out there in this world, Lord, we have light in the camp. And what a marvelous light it is, Lord. The precious, this precious message that we have received in our hearts, Lord, it is a lamp, Lord, unto our footsteps, Lord. And Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds, Lord, as we just sang about, Lord, but we know who holds tomorrow, Lord. And we can't see too far ahead of us, Lord, but we had a message that came and Lord, showed us where we're at, Lord. And we're watching for your coming, Lord, and we're in anticipation, Lord. It's a gloomy time for many people, Lord Jesus, but it's a very exciting time for your bride, Lord. And Lord, our hearts are beating, Lord, to this symphony, to this morning, Lord. And we're so grateful, Lord. Lord, we don't deserve it, Lord Jesus. We realize that. But, oh, Lord, what a wonderful thing we have, Lord. And Lord, we pray today, Lord, for these requests that Brother Brent has mentioned, Lord. You've heard each and every one, Lord. And Lord, I want to remember also my sister-in-law, Lord, Michelle, Lord, who doesn't know you and is in the hospital this morning, Lord. We pray for the traveling mercies for Brother Matilda and family, Lord, and Lord, Sister Dottie, Lord, who's not feeling well, Lord, we ask that you would touch her and all the other requests, Lord. Each one has something in our heart, Lord, and Lord, that a brother or sister we're praying for, or a lost family member, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord Jesus, you know the thoughts and the intents of a heart, Lord, and we ask that you meet every request, Lord. They're all serious to us, Lord, whether small or big, Lord, and Lord, we pray for your precious word to come forth, Lord, and Lord, we believe it's a double-edged sword, Lord, cutting, going in and coming back out, Lord, and Lord, we just ask that you would cut off anything that's would hinder us from to go in the rapture, Lord. Cut it away from us, Lord. Circumcise us, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, that if there's someone here that does not know you in the power of your resurrection, Lord, may you bring them, Lord, to a place of repentance, Lord. And may they give their hearts to you, Lord Jesus. We're here to be corrected. We're here to be uplifted. We're here to receive what you've sent to us, Lord. And may you receive the glory in it all, Lord, in our lives, Lord. May everything come forth as a testimony. We pray and ask it, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, the all-sufficient name. Amen.
So brothers will come this time.
Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, on the day of Pentecost, rushing mighty wind blew into the upper.
Sing another time.
Greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in.
Thank you, Sister Christy.
Still be Lord, that's a what it has in store. I will serve the Lord. Can we stand? Oh, I will serve the Lord. Oh, I will serve the Lord. Oh, no matter what tomorrow brings, what it has in store, I will serve the Lord. I will praise.
Amen. He's worthy of our praise. Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Good to be in church this morning. Amen. Amen. You know, it means thank you, musicians. God bless you richly. Sometimes when you go through things like our nation and the world is facing, you appreciate it a little bit more to be able to come to church, not knowing when the next time you're going to be able to come to church is. And many times these things become common to us. Well, just another Wednesday or another Sunday or whatever it would be. But then when they start telling you, well, you may not be able to have church for weeks or months or things like that, you begin to think, oh my, we're blessed, aren't we? Amen. We're blessed to be able to come together and assemble ourselves together. So I know... you know, in times like this, it brings out the best in some people, and it brings out the worst in other people. And so I pray that through these pressures, as God has pressurized us, that it will bring out the best in us and not the worst. I know that different, you know, individuals feel led to do different things. Different churches feel led to do different things. And in times like this, I would encourage everybody to do what you feel led to do. Everybody's circumstances are not the same. I am not going to call you and guilt trip you and say, you big sinner, if you feel led to stay home because you've got concerns because of your physical health or history or whatever it would be. I'm not going to do that. I am going to try to keep the doors open as long as we possibly can until they come and knock on the door and tell us, hey, you've got to stop this or we're going to take you to jail. And then we've got some other options that we're going to try to do to still be able to have church, maybe a small crew here at the church of musicians and things like that. I think they're still allowing 10 or less, so maybe we'll just have a handful of people here and either archive the service, do it the previous day and archive it for the people on the regular church day to listen to it, or do it live streaming somehow or something like that. If it comes to that, I'm praying that it doesn't come to that. I know the governor of Kentucky, he's cracked down really hard. As far as I know, Brother Morris is still having service over in Kentucky today, and then he's going to cancel the next couple of weeks service. And but he has a lot of elderly folks and things in the church, and I feel like everybody has to do what they feel like is wisdom for their own specific church. Some churches have a lot more people than we do, and they've already been mandated not to have churches for those numbers and things like that. So We're going to keep doing what we feel led to do. Everybody else has to do what they feel led to do. And you as individuals and as families, I would encourage you, if you have a fever, it's flu season, even without all the coronavirus things going on, there's a lot of flu and things like that. If you have a flu or a virus or a fever that you know of, I would encourage you, stay home till that clears up. If you have been in contact with somebody that you know maybe has the virus, I would encourage you, stay home till you make sure that you're not a carrier and things like that. And we'll just try to get through this the best that we can. The Lord knows all about it. He's able to protect us. I pray this morning that He just puts a hedge of protection around each and every one of us. But we want to use wisdom. You know, I believe in washing hands and brushing teeth and doing things like that, but I don't believe in staying up all night and being in fear about germs and things. But I think we need to use wisdom. In times like this, it's hard to find that balance. We all feel like, well, I've got the right balance, and then maybe somebody else completely extreme on the opposite. So for those of you that weren't here on Wednesday night, we looked at the live report from Goshen, and I want to pick up on that thought this morning again, although it'll probably be quite a bit different than what we did Wednesday night. We looked at a couple of reporters that were there, one in Goshen on the ground during the time of the plagues, and one in Egypt, and then one back in the studio, and we just kind of went through that, just a little bit of a drama that the Lord had placed on my heart. Seemed like it was a blessing and encouraged a lot of people. Brother Morse was here in the service on Wednesday night, and he texted me the next day, or that night, I think, late, and said, I'd like a copy of that. I want to play it at my church Sunday morning in Liberty. And I thought, well, that'll start all kinds of rumors. They're playing my tapes now in other people's church. So I was going to go out Wednesday night or Friday night and support him in Sellersburg with everything going on. I was going to try to go and be a part of his service there. And he said, well, I think I'm going to play it Friday night in Sellersburg. And I said, well, I'm not going to come and listen to myself preach on a tape. So, but he played it there, I guess, and it was a blessing and encouragement to the people. So we're glad. That's not my agenda for other people to start doing that. But if it was a blessing to somebody, we'll praise the Lord for that. Psalm chapter 91, if you turn with me this morning. I don't want to keep you standing too long, but just wanted to say a few of those things that I know there's a lot of questions on people's hearts and what are we going to do and how does Brother Nathan feel and things like that. And so for me, I just feel led to try to keep the doors open as long as we can for those that want to be here. Obviously, there's some that want to be here, and so we want to keep the doors open for that. And for those that have concerns and don't feel comfortable coming, then we understand that. And we just be praying that this all passes over quickly and that things can get back to normal as soon as possible. Now, I asked Brother Layton to omit the psalm reading this morning because I was going to read this psalm. He actually read this psalm last Sunday morning, but he didn't know that I was planning on reading it this Sunday morning. And so the Lord always works on both ends of the line, doesn't he? I'm going to read this psalm, but there may be some parts that I reread and have us read together. But Psalm chapter 91 and verse 1, I think it's very timely for the situations that we're facing. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Why don't we read that one together? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Why don't we read that one together? For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon my name. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. And honor him with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be here this morning. It means something a little more special to us than an average Sunday to be able to come together and worship together, Lord. And we recognize, as I said Wednesday night, Lord, no matter what we do, there'll be some that'll criticize, Father. So all I know to do is just to keep doing what you're leading and just keep encouraging each one, each family, each church, Lord, being sovereign, each pastor, each one to do, Lord, what they're feeling led to do for their specific situations, Father. Father, and Lord, we just commit this all into your hands. We pray, Lord, as we said earlier, just a hedge of protection around each one, Father. We pray your mercies and your grace to us during this time. We pray that you would take complete control of this service. May we leave here encouraged and saying, Lord, our hearts burned within us. Not as Brother Nathan spoke, but as we begin to see things in the scriptures and the quotes and things that you laid on his heart to bring out to us, we felt like it was you, Lord, that was speaking to us, Lord, as we sat here this morning. Father, we commit it into your hands, Father, for the outcome that you'll just speak to hearts, Lord. If there's any, Lord, that hasn't made preparations, Lord, I pray that during this time they would, Lord, you would shake their conscience enough to get their attention and, Lord, have them make right anything that's wrong in their life. Have them accept you into their heart, Lord. And if they haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, may you come and fill them at this time, Lord, and may a testimony come forth from it, I pray. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. Amen. I appreciate how that God uses gifts, and not just ministering gifts, but I've noticed even in the last couple of services, Brother Furman and Brother Ben, what a wonderful job I feel like they've done selecting the songs that I'm sure the Lord led them to for these services. I know it's been encouraging to me, and I'm sure it's been encouraging to you as well. There's something about it. Brother Benham said that when the people went to battle, that they sang before they went to battle to get them into the spirit. And so we are definitely in a battle, not only physically with some of these things that we're facing as germs and viruses and things like that, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally. It's a battle out here. It is a battle. Things have escalated a little bit with all the pressures that we're facing from some of these things. But even when coronavirus isn't on every news article that you look at, we'll still be facing pressures. Because it's an age of pressure. And I thank God that he has pressurized us for the age that we live in. I was hearing a sermon a while back. I think it was Brother Ron Spencer's Labor Day meetings. As you know, we've been cooped in the house a little bit more than normal with so much being shut down and different things. And I was watching a few different portions of different sermons and different things that brothers had said and on YouTube there. And one of the clips that had come up was from a sermon from Brother Ron Spencer's Labor Day meetings last year, and Brother Donnie was preaching. I don't even know what his topic was, but something that stood out to me that he was talking about was that when an astronaut goes into space, the pressure would crush them, but they take their own atmosphere with them. And I thought that was a good type there, that when we go out here into Laodicea, there's all kinds of pressures that we're facing, that you see people having heart attacks and you see people losing their mind and people committing suicide and all kinds of things by the effects of pressures. But I thank God that in this age he pressurizes us to where we can take our own atmosphere with us. You can go into places where maybe the atmosphere is terrible and maybe people at your job negative and all that they can say is negative and all that they can find about anybody is negative, and yet in the midst of all that, you can have your own atmosphere right there with you and say, well, Lord, I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm not going to enter into their negativity, and I'm not going to get dragged down by those things, but I'm going to praise you in the midst of the storm. Amen. Amen. I want to read a couple quotes to you this morning. To begin with, in Faith 1956, Brother Branham is in a prayer line there, and he's talking to a lady, and he says, viruses, isn't it, sister? Right there, that's right, got a virus, isn't that right? They don't even know what to call it. That's just an excuse the doctor give you. That's all, but it don't do no good now. It's over. You can go ahead and be well. Your faith made you well. The doctors didn't even know what to call it, didn't have a name for it, didn't have a vaccine for it, but he said, it's okay, sister. You can go ahead and be well. Your faith has made you whole. So I believe Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's still a healer of viruses. He's still a healer of diseases. He's still a healer of cancer and tuberculosis and diabetes and all these different things. He is still just as much a healer as when the blood was shed at Calvary. Amen. Look away to Jesus, 1963. Here is something that's on your heart. It's somebody you're praying for, a child. You believe he can tell me what's wrong with it? It's got a virus. Is that right? The sister says, that's right. Yes. Do you believe God can tell me who you are? Yes, sir. You're Mrs. Walker, right? You're not from here, no. You're from the South, right? Georgia, right? You're going home well. Jesus Christ has healed you and your child. Don't worry about it. It's over. God bless you, sister. Amen. I believe if he was here this morning, he would tell us the same thing. Don't worry about it. Use some wisdom, use some common sense, but don't worry about it. There is no positive aspect in fear. Amen. You know, Brother Bam says in one place there that even if you had cancer and didn't fear it, you'd be all right. But it's when a little fear begins to creep in. Now when we consume ourselves with just media and social media and things, everybody's talking about social distancing. I'm doing social media distancing. Because everything is so negative and people panicking, even message believers. My wife signed out of her Instagram account because every time you turn around, some message believer panicking, about to have a meltdown with cabin fever. And I thought, goodness gracious, we have a God that gives us peace in the time of storm. Yes. Amen. We have a God that can still speak to storms and speak storms out of existence. Amen. I'm not going to worry. If they tested me positive for it tomorrow, I would believe that I would be okay. Amen. Because I'm trusting in a healer. I would be a little disappointed and discouraged because I might have to distance from some of you for a while in that case. But I would say, Lord, you've got it under control. You've got it for a reason. Maybe I'm supposed to testify to a doctor or a nurse or something. Oh, Brother Nathan, a believer can't get coronavirus. Haven't you read Facebook? Well, let's see what they say if some of them catch it. They'll find some different quotes real fast. And I'm going to read you some of those quotes this morning, but just because somebody gets it in their head that something is a fulfillment of a quote doesn't mean that that's the fulfillment of a quote. If this is really just a virus, then you can catch it just like you can catch the flu. Amen. But I haven't lived for 38 years almost now. I haven't lived in fear of the flu, and it hasn't kept me out of Walmart, and it hasn't kept me out of church. So I'm not going to let a virus keep me out unless they make me keep it out. But praise the Lord. Anyhow, we know whatever it is. If it is, as we looked at Wednesday night about the plagues and different things, if it is one of those things of the end time that Brother Branham tells us about, then I'll read you a quote here shortly. And he tells us that we're immune. So if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't have to worry if that's what it is. But when he begins to describe to us what those things will be, and one of the quotes that's going around and that I'll read to you this morning, I was shared it about a month before it was popular on Facebook with about 20 different minister brothers. But before that was, with all that going around, he says that it would make cancer look like a toothache. Now, I don't know about you, but the symptoms and the things and the death count and everything that's going on from this is not the fulfillment of that quote to me, at least not yet. So I don't think this is exactly what we're facing is some of these things, but we don't know what it'll be. We don't know what it'll turn out to be. So if it is that, then we're immune if we got the Holy Ghost. And if it's not that, and it's just a virus like the flu or anything else or any other strand of coronavirus, most of us haven't heard of coronavirus before, but newsflash, it's not something new. They've known about this since the 60s and the 70s. If you look on your Lysol bottles, one of the things that it's supposed to help kill germs for is coronavirus. This strand is new, and they think it maybe have been manipulated by man, mixing things together to maybe try to weed out populations and things like that. I don't know about all that, whether it's true or whether it's not. I'm not going to preach conspiracy theories to you until we have facts, but I do know that whatever it is, if it's man-made, if it's just a virus, if it's whatever, then God will allow them to find a vaccine, and if it's God sent as a judgment, then God will protect his bride. So I'm not going to be too worried either way. I don't want to minimize it. I realize people are dying and it's terrible. But you know, people die every day out here in automobile accidents way more than has died by the coronavirus every day around the world. People die of cancer every day around the world in much more numbers than they're dying by coronavirus. People are dying by the flu and by pneumonia and different things. And it doesn't even make the news, but it's just because this is something that they don't understand yet, so they don't know how to control it and what to do about it, and so it has them in a panic. Why? Because we're control freaks as human beings. And if we can't control it, then we get very scared and willing to shut down our businesses and our restaurants and our churches and everything else because we don't have a little bit of control. But I want to tell you, God is in control. Amen. He is still in control. He is still on the throne. Coronavirus didn't shock him. That he hasn't read a Fox News update yet that has surprised him or CNN or anything else. He knew all about it before the foundation of the world. Adoption, part 4, 1960. You think cancer's something? The Bible said there's coming a time when men will rot right in their flesh and the buzzards will eat off of carcasses before they even die. Cancer's a toothache to what's coming. But remember, that horrible thing was forbidden in that day to touch those who had the seal of God. That's what we're striving for now, to get in and be positionally placed into the kingdom of God before these horrible plagues strike. Hey man, what do you believe, Brother Nathan? You believe it's one or you believe it's not? It really doesn't matter to me whether it is or not. I'm more concerned about getting people positionally. That's what I've been preaching on for a year. Getting people positionally into the kingdom before these horrible plagues strike. Whether it's this or something a year down the road or 10 years down the road, we need to be prepared and be in the condition that when it comes, that we're already positionally in a place to where it won't matter to the bride. Somebody said, "You think the bride will see any of the plagues?" Well, Brother Branham obviously believed so, and the scriptures and revelations obviously said so, because it was to set a mark to only be on those that didn't have the seal of God in their forehead. So I believe we'll see some of it, but before the great tribulation hits, we'll take a flight out of here. Amen. I don't know how much we'll see. I hope we don't see very much of it. But you know what? I'm not going to be depending on science to get me out of it when it does come. The Bible says, and we'll read it next week if we're able to have service or maybe on Wednesday night, the Bible says in the book of Revelations that it'll get so bad to where men will plea for death to take them, but death won't come. And it didn't talk about 8 weeks. It talked about, I think it's 5 months that the plagues would be and things. I don't know if that's literal man months or months in God's eyes or time or how many years it'll be or months or whatever. All I know is I don't want to be here when most of that hits. Amen. I'm planning on taking a flight out of here. God's provided a way of healing, 1954. Listen, did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days that there'll be a germ warfare, that diseases will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Spirit? But with the angel, or who had the charge or over these plagues, was given orders. Remember, we just read it this morning. He will give his angels charge over thee. Amen. He'll give them orders. Hey, protect these over here. He'll give them orders. Don't let these plagues fall on these over here. They're given orders to touch no one whom the mark was on. Why? How much kind of teachers have we got to be, brethren, to get the church in order to be in that condition immune? Oh, he puts it back on the minister's lap a little bit. Have we been so busy arguing over who's right and who's wrong and what address you should attend church at and you know what group you should rally behind and what personality and the message that you should put your stamp of approval behind? Have we got so focused on all those things and arguing and fighting over quotes and trying to run each other down that we failed to get the church into a condition where they got to the baptism of the Holy Ghost and are immune from these things? He says, my arms are sore now from where the doctors has punched needles in to try to inoculate me from yellow fever and so forth. I told them I didn't need it, but they wouldn't listen to me. But I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's got a serum, and it's called the Holy Ghost. Amen. They're still trying to figure out. They found a drug now, that a vaccine that is used for malaria, that they're saying has good effects on killing out this virus. I hope it does. I hope they're able to find it and sell it for 50 cents a shot to each and every one of us, and we can go get inoculated. But you know what? If they never find anything, I've already been inoculated. Amen. Oh my, even if I get coronavirus, even if I die of coronavirus, I've already been inoculated. Amen. This body might rot in the ground. I don't know what'll come of it or what'll take place, but I've been inoculated by the serum. Amen. So if I go the way of the grave or if I go the way of taking a step into a theophany, I'm a winner either way. Amen. I've already got the serum. And when that serum goes in, he says, it'll inoculate you, hallelujah, in the last days. God's provided a way of healing, again, 1954. But look, friend, the time is coming that when there is rising up a church, if we can't have faith for divine healing, how are we going to have faith for the rapture? People are scared to death that they're not going to be able to get out of their houses. I'm not worried about getting out of my house, Brother Lee. I'm worried about getting out of this body. Amen. I'm worried about making sure I'm rapture ready. Amen. Whether I'm Walmart ready or restaurant ready or gas station ready or whatever, you know, that really doesn't matter in the whole grand scheme of things. I want to make sure I'm rapture ready. And if we can't have enough faith for divine healing that God can protect us through times like this, how are we going to have faith for a rapture? Oh, I've got rapturing faith, Brother Nathan, but please don't shake my hand. Hey, if you don't want to shake my hand, that's okay. Everybody has their own right to make their own choice. Everybody has their own right to make any precautions that they want. They may seem silly to me. The precautions I take might seem silly to you. That's an individual affair, but I'm just trying to shake our conscience a little bit to take a step back and look and say, we claim to have all this faith, but when things actually begin to rise, if we begin to panic, then we have to wonder, how much faith do we really have? Amen. If I knew somebody was down here right now that needed prayer, I'd go down and pray for them. I wouldn't worry a bit about it. And I would trust God to protect me just like I do when I go in and pray for anybody with anything else. Oh, but it's just contagious or it's this or it's that. Well, you know, it's hard for me to go in with a hazmat suit and say, I'm here to pray the prayer of faith for you, brother. I can't hardly breathe, but I'm going to lay these rubber gloves on you and cast this out in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus with waders and gloves up to his shoulders going to pray for Legion? Come here. We're just going to do one of these numbers. We believe that faith can just move those extra few inches. How are we going to have faith for a rapture? We've got to move out, friend. We've got to get out of this old, slow church condition that we're in. Step out, launch out, cut the shorelines, and get out into somewhere where you lose all senses of fear. Uh-oh. All senses of fear and doubt, out where all things are possible. Brother, you just as free as it can be. That's how I want to be. Hey man, I want the spirit. I don't want the spirit of fear. I want it where the spirit of God is. There's liberty. There's freedom. There's peace. Amen. Like I said, I want to use wisdom. If I stand at the back door here and shake all 250 hands or however many, well, not 250. Sorry, 189, whatever it is out here this morning. However many that it is. You know what, I'll probably go to my office afterwards and I'll probably pump one little squirt of hand sanitizer and rub it on my hands and I won't feel like I'm living in fear at all because you know what, I do that just about every Sunday morning. So I'm not changing, you know, I'm not living in fear because of something new. I'm just doing what I always do because you don't know. I mean, when you're shaking 50 kids' hands, who's wiped their nose and not washed their hands or whatever. And I want to use wisdom. But I'm not going to stand there with a bottle this big and pump it every time I shake each end of it. Wait a minute, let me pump. Brother Lee, I shook your hand. Let me pump and get Sister Debbie's hand. And maybe you feel like you should do that. That's okay. Do what you feel led to do. I'm just telling you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep doing the same thing that I normally would do, take the precautions that I normally would do. I'm going to use sense. I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to do things like that. But I'm not going to live in fear of this thing. You've got your sails set towards heaven, he says, and nothing can stir you, no way. You're gone that way, that's all. Nothing can harm you. That's what he said. Nothing can harm you. I'm just going to have a show of hands this morning. I don't normally use this, but how many's ever been sick here before? Oh my goodness, look at all these honest people. Well, a prophet of God said nothing can harm you. So, well, we just throw that quote out. No, but let's look at what he's telling us. Let's read it, maybe the Amplified. I know this scares people, but maybe we can just amplify this a little bit. Nothing can harm you that is outside of what God's will is to happen to you. Amen. God is not going to take you before your time. Brother Branham said that. He says, Satan cannot take you until God is finished with you. Now, he's tried to take a few like that, but you know what? They've come back. We've got a few witnesses of things like that that have happened where Satan has tried to take people prematurely, but they've come back. So nothing can harm you that's out of God's will. Hey, you know what? I've stumped my toe before, but I didn't call Brother Branham a false prophet. Well, you said nothing can harm me, Brother Branham. Well, it was probably God's will for me to turn on the light and walk in the light instead of trying to tiptoe around in the darkness, and I wouldn't have stubbed my toe. So that's not God's fault or Brother Branham's fault. Amen. So we want to use common sense and we want to do these things, but nothing is going to harm me that God didn't allow. Satan can knock on his door all day long. I'm sure that Satan is there right now pleading, please. Please let me give this guy coronavirus. I want his face on the front page of the newspaper in New Albany. I want to ruin his reputation. I want his church to lose faith in him. Please just let me give it to him. Let me cause a stir in all of New Albany and all of the message. And people say, oh yeah, Brother Nathan, you know, he doesn't use a lot of wisdom. He's negligent. He went ahead and had church anyhow. Please let me give it to him. And you know what? If God wants to let him, then there'll be a testimony from it of some reason. But if God says, no, I'm sorry, you're not going to do that, then Satan can huff and puff and do all that he wants. But nothing can harm me unless God permits it to happen. Amen. Now, God also, you know, if you jump off the Empire State Building, God is probably going to let you splat because that was your own stupidity. And God is God's sovereign grace and his sovereign will and all that will override our human ability and our free moral agency to a certain point. And then there's another point where God just says, okay, well, if you're just going to not use any wisdom at all, I'll just let you go that way. But he knew you were going to do that too. So it's not a shot. It's not like you're overriding God and saying, well, bless God, I'll just do it my own way. He knew before you was a speck that you were going to do it that way. So there's no getting around God or predestination or all these things, but he's telling us nothing can harm you. Now, that's the kind of church it's going to be one of these days, according to the Bible, where the angel poured out his wrath and diseases broke out and men even rotted in their flesh where they were standing and the fowl of the air come down and eat off the shoulders and eat off the chief captains and great mans and presidents and warriors and diplomats and potentates and everything eat. But the angel was given a charge. Don't you come near anyone that's got the seal of God in their forehead. It's going to be one of these days, divine healing is going to be a great thing among the people. So let's get in condition. So instead of worrying about whether this is or whether this isn't, and if somebody got it, whether they got the Holy Ghost or not, and trying to cast judgment before we read all that he said and see all that is actually going to take place and how terrible it's going to be and how that, well, this isn't even a drop in the bucket so far to what's coming. Before we get all that worked out intellectually in our mind and make decisions, let's get in the condition to where when it does come, we're all right. Amen. Amen. Let's focus on getting in a condition. It's all right. We stocked up some groceries too. I was at Walmart. I went to get away for a couple days at a cabin to pray right about the time all this really started hitting. And I went into a Walmart there to get me a couple things to eat while I was there. And there was a little guy there, and he had a big cart with cardboard boxes on it. And he was taking a razor blade and opening up those cardboard boxes, and he had cases of toilet paper. And he was sitting them on the shelf. And as soon as he turned around and pick up another one, that one would be gone. Somebody would be off with their cart, and he'd set another one down, and somebody would come by and take another one. I thought, well, if they're going to be this crazy about toilet paper, I better go ahead and get us a couple extra cases. So I got me a case. And you know what? We stocked up on some milk and things like that. But you know what? I'm not gonna stay up all night and worry about whether I'm gonna have enough milk tomorrow or not, because I know that he's got it under control. And I'm more worried about getting in the condition. Hey, you know what? There was a time when a drought got a whole lot worse than anything that we've ever imagined, and there was no water, there was no rain, there was no nothing, and God had some ravens that came and provided for his prophet and brought him food. Hey man, I know technology and times are different. Maybe it'll be DoorDash or some of those, you know, online people bringing us food or whatever it'll be. But I'm not worried about starving, all right? Because he promised that he would provide for me. Amen. Once again, I want to use wisdom. I'm honestly more worried about the people that are overreacting and panicking and what they're doing, buying everything out and trying to maybe shoot somebody over a roll of toilet paper or something crazy, than I am the actual virus itself, because people panic. And people go into chaos and confusion and alarm. And you know, if I could encourage you to do anything, use wisdom, but don't panic. Don't get irrational over things. One of these days, healing, divine healing is going to be a great thing, he says. Amen. I'm depending on him this morning. I'm depending on him. My oldest son just turned 13 years old today. I have to depend on him more than I ever have. I have a teenager in the house now, Brother Arnie. I'm depending on him. If I didn't feel like God could protect us this morning, you know, I might have come, but I wouldn't have brought my wife and children if I thought there was a real threat or a real danger of us assembling ourselves together. I'm doing what God told us to do. He said to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. I believe in using wisdom, and I believe if the government cracks down hard enough and the governor says, no, you can't do it, we'll probably cancel a few services for a little while, but I'm not planning on canceling for months and things like that, like they're talking about it may be. I believe that we have religious rights and religious freedoms, and we want to use wisdom and we want to respect those in authority, but we also want to obey God's word. Amen. So you pray for me. I'm trying my best to find a balance to this. I realize my decisions don't just affect me and my family, but there will be other people that, you know, maybe if we have church, maybe, well, we really don't want to go. We really don't think we should go, but we feel obligated to go, or somebody might think something negative. Don't feel obligated to come. Don't feel obligated to come. I promise you, I won't think any less of you. I won't put any pressure on you. Don't feel obligated to come. But if you feel led to come and you want to be in church, then I want to have the door open for people as long as we can. Amen. Pray for me to make the right decisions. I don't want to do something rash either direction. I don't want to go one extreme or the other. Then Jesus came, 1957. Diseases are happening and everything's taking place. Well, we don't know what to expect. Thank God for an honest prophet that didn't say, well, you know, this is exactly how it's going to be, and this is going to be that, and this is going to be that. He said, we don't know what to expect. Hey, that's how we stand this morning. We don't know what to expect. This thing could tip one way or the other. The death rates could go out the roof, or we could wake up tomorrow and realize, you know, something happened. I don't know, the prayers of the saints or climate change or whatever it is. The virus just seems like it's died down, and it's just people are getting delivered from it, and there hasn't been any more deaths or whatever. It could go either direction. We don't know what it'll be, or it could keep kind of par for the course like it's been doing. We don't know what it'll be. We don't know what to expect. But you know what? Brother Ben sang it this morning. I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds my hand. Amen. I don't know what to expect, but I'm expecting him to bring me through. Amen. Amen. The doctors don't know what to call the diseases, so they're saying they're viruses. What's a virus? Ask the doctor. It's something that he don't know nothing about. He just says it's a virus. That's all there is. There's little old bugs and demons a-flying that man never heard of before. Everything's on the move. Everything. We're trying to curb it with natural things, but when we try to do this, it breaks out something else. That's right. Again, then Jesus came. He says, oh, but blessed be to God, just in this darkest of hour, then comes Jesus moving in. Oh, it may seem dark, but that's when Jesus usually comes in. In the darkest, hardest times, that's usually when God has something for you that Satan is just trying to keep you away from. Amen. So we trust in him. We have confidence in him this morning, whatever comes or whatever goes. You know, God's people, you look down through the ages. We was looking at it Wednesday night about the deliverance during the time of plagues and how God brought them out with a mighty strong hand. Now God brings them, he protects them from these plagues, and he brings them out of this bondage of slavery in Egypt, and he does all these wonderful things, and then he sets them out in a wilderness for 40 years, and there was no Kroger, there was no Sam's Club, there was no grocery store, there was no Thornton's or whatever it would be. There was none of those things. And here he is. He didn't have just him and his wife and kids. Here he is with 2 million people. And God brings them out of this nation And now he's wandering about in the wilderness, and the people are complaining the whole way. There's no water. Well, now there's water, but the water's bitter, and now there's no food, and now there's this, and now this one's sick, and now this one did that, and now the prophet's been gone for a few days, and we want to go back to Egypt, and we want to build us some calves to worship and things like that. And the people constantly complaining and arguing and bickering and questioning his leadership, and yet through all that, God provided every step of the way. God provided for him every time. In the book of Esther, there was a time where there was a man with an agenda to wipe their entire nation out, and he had the political power to do it. And then all of a sudden, God came and changed the scene and provided a way out for him. In the time of Daniel, there stood the three Hebrew children facing a fiery furnace. They had no scientific way to explain deliverance. They had no political backing to get them delivered. They had no leg to stand on at all, except just, we know God is able. We don't have a quote. The prophet Daniel didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord, the three Hebrew children shall be delivered. The fire won't touch them." They didn't have a quote. They didn't have anything specific to say, "This is going to be okay." All they knew was, God is more than able, and we believe that he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow to your idols. And God came on the scene and brought deliverance. God provided it. Jesus one time preached a long sermon, was out in the wilderness, and there wasn't enough food to feed the people. And 5,000 men plus women and children, and all they had was a little lunchbox of a little schoolboy's meal that had decided to play hooky from school. Or maybe they were shut down that week because of a scare or whatever it was. I don't know, but he wasn't at school. And here he is with his little lunchbox under his arm. And Jesus said, "What have you got?" Amen. I believe he's asking each and every one of us that, not just now, but throughout our life. What have you got? Moses said, "All I've got is the staff." Samson said, "All I got is this jawbone on my hand." David said, "All I got is this little guitar that I'm writing songs with." And God spoke to their hearts and said, "Take what is in your hand and move forward with it." And this little boy, all he had in his hand was a few fish and a few loaves of bread. And Jesus took it and fed 5,000 with it. So, you know, he is still a multiplier. He's still a multiplier. He's still a provider. I just read through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah the last few days in my personal devotions, and I was reminded of the story where Ezra, as he goes in and they're going back to rebuild the temple, and Nehemiah trying to build the wall, and the prophet Isaiah had prophesied hundreds of years before that there was going to be a king that would rise up by the name of Cyrus by name, and that he would grant deliverance and restoration to God's people. And so now the prince of Persia's, all the princes of Persia and the kings of Persia, all these, the Medes and Persians have came in, and they have taken power from the Babylonian kingdom. Now the power, the national or global power, has moved from Babylon over to the Persian kings. And now there's a Persian prince or Persian king that rises up by the name of Cyrus, and he begins to rule, and he sends forth a commission with Ezra and these men to go and rebuild the temple of God. He doesn't just commission them to go, but he says, "Hey, at the king's expense, you can go and you can get cedars from Lebanon and you can get all these different things, and you just tell him to put it to the king's charge." And he writes a decree and he sends them forth with the word of the king to go forth and do this. But then after a few years, political powers begin to change, and it goes from this king to that king, and another king rises up, and there's some people in the land near Israel where they begin to stir up some trouble, and they go and they say, "Hey, you have the king that is now ruling. Go and search the word. Have him search his historical documents and things. Have him look and search and see if this group, if they haven't always been rebellious, and if they're not going to try to rise up and have their own nation and things, and have him search that out." So he goes, and like a lot of people do, they've been told to search a certain search criteria. And so he goes and he searches, and he finds out, you know what, that's right. These people have rose up against other rulers before. They came out of Egypt and they fought against the Syrians and different ones and the Philistines and brought back their inheritance in the times of Judges and different ones. And you know what? They are a people that they want to be their own individual nation. And so he tells them, put a stop to it. Because he just searched the criteria that they told him to search. You know, that's what happens a lot of times when people start to pick against the message. They'll say, well, go search this and see. Didn't Brother Branham say this? Isn't this the way it is? And if you just search the criteria that the devil's wanting you to search, then you might be shaken a little bit sometimes. But what I'd encourage you to do is dig a little further and see what else it says. I had a sister text me today and said a relative of hers was asking her, why isn't Brother Branham's name in the Bible if he was a prophet? I said, well, you go and tell the man that I have a question for him. Why wasn't John the Baptist or St. Paul or even our sweet Lord Jesus' name in the Old Testament if they were such great men? And come back and tell me an answer, and then I'll answer his question. Foolish, unlearned questions. That they think that they have a little slight that they can throw against the message, and they don't even know their Bible well enough to realize that the same question they stood there and asked John, who are you? Identify yourself in the scripture. What are you, the Christ? Are you this one? What why isn't your name mentioned back there by Isaiah or by Malachi or one of these? He said, hey, my name isn't mentioned, but I will scripturally place my ministry. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amen. He scripturally, his ministry scripturally identified himself. So many times there's people that they want you to look in a certain way or think in a certain perspective or search a certain thing. And if you start down their line of thought, oh my, it might shake you. But open up and look at the rest of the word a little bit before you get too disturbed. And so now Ezra, now there's another political change and another king comes on the scene. These same men go right up to this king. Oh, you better put a stop to him. They're starting to try to build again out here. They're starting to try to do this work for their Lord again. And you need to put a stop to it. And Ezra tells him, he says, hey, that's all right. Go tell him whatever you want about us, but I'm sending him a letter too. And he says, look, you can go and search whatever you want that these men are telling you to, but go and look a little further and see if Cyrus didn't tell us and commission us and give us a word from the king to do this. And they went and looked and said, well, what do you know? That quote's there too. Dug a little further. And so the king Artaxerxes, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not, but you just bear with me if I'm not. I don't have a degree in Greek, but Ezra chapter 7 verse 11, he says, now this is the copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra, the priest, the scribe, even as a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra, the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven. Perfect peace. And at such a time, oh, such a time when everybody was trying to come against them, when they were trying to prevent them from rebuilding the temple and from rebuilding the wall, and they were talking about coming down and camping around them and battling with them, to where Nehemiah said, I would work all day fully clothed, and then the men, the workers, we would sleep all night fully clothed so that we could jump up and go to battle, and the only time they took off their garments was just to wash their clothes and take a bath, and they put them right back on. They didn't get in their PJs and their bunny slippers. They was ready for battle 24/7. And he said, we would work and we would have a tool in one hand and a sword in the other hand, ready for battle all the time. And they were in such a time as that. And people coming up trying to stop the work of the Lord, trying to stop the building of the temple, trying to stop the building of the wall. But then this great King of Kings writes a letter and says, Ezra, perfect peace. And at such a time. Oh, I want to say this morning to the bride of Jesus Christ, whatever we're facing, perfect peace at such a time. Amen. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Amen. That's where my trust lies. I'm trusting in him this morning. I'm depending on him this morning. I wouldn't be here this morning if I didn't feel like he was leading us to be here. I wouldn't face the pressures and the controversy and the things that'll be said and things and people trying to find fault and trying to find something against you. I wouldn't face all that if I didn't feel like it was him that was doing the leading, but I'm trusting in him this morning. I'm depending on him this morning. Why? Because we can have perfect peace even in a time as this, when the whole world is losing their minds and going into chaos and fear and all kinds of worry. We can have perfect peace through the time of storm. That, Lord, whatever comes, whatever goes, if it gets worse, if it gets better, if it stays the same, Lord, I'm depending on you. I'm depending on you. I can have peace because I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. I'm resting in him this morning. Shalom, 1964. He says, we are facing this year with both darkness and light. We are, the world is in one of the most chaotic times of darkness that it's ever stood in. And yet, it's standing in, again, the most blessed light that it ever did shine in. He says again in the same sermon, the darkest before day is because the light is pressing the darkness, but the morning star comes out and says, good morning, shalom. You remember that word means peace. In the midst of darkness, shalom. He says again, now that's the darkness, and I could stay on that for another hour. We could talk for until tomorrow about all the negativity in the news and all the darkness of the age and all the fears and worries and threats and political drama and wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in diverse places and hurricanes and tornadoes. And we could talk about all the darkness for another hour, he says, but to the elected, precious and called, saints of God, I say to you this coming year, shalom, God's peace. Amen. The Heron Bassicks and the Nicholson sing that song, peace of God cover me. Amen. I believe that's what we need. Amen. If they come out with the vaccine, praise the Lord. But what I want more than that is the peace of God to cover me through whatever comes or goes. The peace of God. To where I can lay down at night and know, no matter what the government is doing, no matter if they've got us in our homes quarantined or where we can't go to our churches quarantined or where we can't even hardly go to the grocery and get anything, whatever it would be, as long as I can lay my head down on my pillow and know that God is in control and that he cares for his own and he provides for his own. Hey, every one of us, I think if we'll be honest, unless you just had millionaire parents or something that I don't know about, I'd say every one of us in here has a testimony about how the meal got almost to the bottom of the barrel a few times and it didn't look like there was any way, and God came right in and provided a way. And maybe it was a very unexpected way that you weren't expecting, but he came on the scene and he provided right on time. We've had testimonies after testimonies of different people that they had to make a decision about utility bills or tithes or mortgage bills or tithes or different things like that. And they decided to put God first, and God came on the scene supernaturally and provided, laid it on somebody's heart to give them the money or sent them a bonus check in the mail that they weren't expecting or something like that behind the scenes that God had maybe been doing to get from one from point A to point B. There's been times that brothers have walked up to me and said, Brother Nathan, I don't know where the need is, but here's a handful of money. You just give it wherever you feel the need is, and maybe hand me $500 or $1,000 and me pray, say, Lord, I don't know where the need is, but you just impress somebody on my heart to give it to, and turn around and them look at me dumbfounded and say, you just don't know how much we needed that right now and what we've been facing. I said, I didn't know, and the brother that gave me the money didn't know, but there was one that orchestrated it all that knew. Amen. You know, I thank God that he uses people like that. I thank God for those that are cheerful givers. And I thank God that he would lead me to do things. But you know what? We don't get the glory for that because we didn't know anything about these things. It's God that does the orchestrating and gets the glory for it all. The same God that can do that, he can protect us in times of trouble. He can heal us if we do get sick. He can restore us. He can provide food for us. You say, well, Brother Nathan, with the situation, I can't even go to my work right now. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I don't know. I'm beginning to get a little worried about my savings and about this and about, I'm just living week to week, and I don't know how I'm going to pay the next bill. I don't either, but I know that he's provided for you this far and that he's able to keep on providing for us. Amen. I don't have all the answers. As Brother Benham said, we don't know what it'll be. We don't know what will come, but we do know that whom we have believed in, and we know whom we serve, and we know that he's got it all in control. Amen. For some of you that maybe you have to take medicines or vitamins or things every day because of health situations or things like that, and you know, you don't lay awake at night and worry, oh my, what if the manufacturer just decides to stop manufacturing this one day? Hey, the drug companies and the vitamin companies and things, they're making money off of those things. They're going to keep making it, or somebody's going to keep making it. So you're able to think, well, Lord, until you heal me, I'm just going to keep sanctifying this pill every day and taking it and praise the Lord and keep going on, whether it's blood pressure or diabetes medicine or whatever it be. I'm just going to keep taking it, as the doctor told me, until you begin to change the symptoms. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, Lord, and you just keep taking care. And you don't have to lay on your pillow every night and worry about, oh my, What if this happens and what if that happens? Well, you just put it in God's hands and say, God, you've taken me this far. You can take me on the rest of the way. Amen. Well, Brother Nathan, there's not a pill for this. There's not a vaccine for this. Oh, but I'm trusting in the great physician. Amen. You know what? I don't know. They may not. Maybe they'll come up with a vaccine tomorrow. Maybe it'll be a year from now. Maybe they'll never find a vaccine. I don't know. But all I know is he promised me that he's the Lord that heals all. A-double-L, my diseases. So there's already a vaccine. Whether they find it or not. Whether I get it or not, I'm not going to live in fear because I know that the one that I serve is able to deliver me. He's able to provide for me. He's able to heal me. He's able to protect me from even getting it. And if he doesn't, I'm going to serve him anyhow because I love him and because I've seen what his word can do. I've seen his promises fulfilled. And Brother Bram said, if I prayed for 1,000 tonight and all 1,000 of them died, I'd be right out preaching divine healing the next day. Why? Because God has healed before and he'll heal again. If it's not his will to heal somebody, then that's between him and them. But all I can do is just keep putting the word before the people. From the beginning, it wasn't so. 1959. Look how everything's being perverted. The waters, the streams, everything's contaminated. The diseases, viruses that the doctors know nothing about. We're at the end time. Flee to the rock. Flee to Christ. Get into him quickly, church. Don't you just love that during a time of crisis, he's not pointing us to the nearest drugstore necessarily, or he's not pointing us to, well, get this of mine, or do this that I said, or do that. He's pointing us to Jesus Christ. Amen. A real man of God will always do that. He'll point you to Jesus Christ. When there's nothing else, when all the world begins to fall apart and everything else is shutting down and closing in and falling apart, where can we point somebody? To the rock that's unshakable. Amen. He said in one quote here, he said, even when the rock of Gibraltar is exploded, the rock of ages will still be standing. Yes, right. Amen. I'm depending on him this morning. Flee to the rock. Flee to Christ and get into him quickly, church. Again, who is God? 1950. And musicians, if you want to go ahead and start making your way up here, we'll try to close in a few moments. Who is God? 1950. Grant, Lord, he says, that something will be said tonight or done that will cause the wayward to turn to Christ. For we believe and feel pressed in the Spirit that great judgments are upon these lands in the last days. Plagues, disease germs already bred up to be scattered throughout the nations. No doctor know even how to take a hold of it. Oh, God will have to believe in divine healing then. When nations are breeding germs together, this was before China did what they did recently, supposedly, back in 1950, a prophet of God says, when nations are breeding germs together to burst them in bombs and millions die in hours over it, oh, we're not there yet, friends. We're not there yet, the things that he's talking about and that the book of Revelations is talking about. But oh, we're so thankful that when the destroying angel went forth, you said, touch not none that has the seal of the Father upon their forehead. They are mine. Oh, we're so glad tonight to be under the blood. Amen. Safely protected as Israel in the days of old, putting the blood upon the lintel of the door and upon the doorpost, sign of the cross. Oh, my. What was the token, Brother Nathan? It was the blood. When I see the blood, it'll pass over you. The sign of the cross wasn't the name of a church or wasn't the address of a church or wasn't some physical thing. It was the sign of the cross that the token was applied. Oh, I hope it's over your heart. I hope it's not just, I love that. I've got one hanging on every vehicle that I've got, I think, a cross hanging. We've got one on the back wall of the church here. But I hope it's more than just a piece of wood in your home or your church or your car. But I hope that the blood is over your heart. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that the sign of the cross is not just a t-shirt that you wear or a bumper sticker on your car, but that you've got the seal of God on your heart. He says, when the death angel was sweeping the land, the dark wings bowed down, but when he seen the blood, it rose again, and I will pass over you. Amen. I'm so thankful. What a peace that the believer can have, even in times of trouble. We can have peace in such a time as this perfect peace and at such a time. Well, Brother Nathan, you didn't talk very much about Goshen. All I did the whole service was talk about Goshen. Amen. I'm thankful for a Goshen. Brother Branham said we read the quote Wednesday night. I'll read you maybe a little bit more of it the coming Wednesday or Sunday or whenever we get a chance to have church again. Brother Branham said, he said, you better get into Goshen while there's a Goshen to get into. He said, there'll be hideous things in the last days. Locusts with hair like women and things like that to come and torment people for not obeying the word of God. We'll maybe look into some of those plagues and things. I was going to do it not today, but I felt to go a little different direction, deal with some of the things with viruses and things that he said with the things that we're facing, to maybe try to put your mind at ease as much as we can with the word of God. But we'll look at some of these plagues and things if the Lord continues to lead that direction. And we're thankful when we look and we see what's coming down the road scripturally and by the message, we're thankful that there's a Goshen to get into. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, for those that are here this morning, for those that will go back and listen, Lord, some couldn't be here due to travels or sickness, or maybe some will go back and listen that their own services are canceled and things and just wanting to hear a service. Lord, I pray that it'll be an encouragement. I pray that nothing that I said will discourage anybody, but my desire is that it would encourage and that it would bring peace, even perfect peace that only you can give at such a time. Lord, we commit these things to you. Lord, we don't know. They may come tomorrow and tell us we can't have church Wednesday night, or maybe not for weeks. Lord, we don't know what it'll be, but we're depending on you. We're taking it one day at a time. Lord, we're trusting in your almighty hand. Lord, whatever comes or goes, we have confidence in you. We know in whom we have believed. And we're depending on you. We're not depending on our own ability. We're not depending on having the perfect way to go about it all, to quarantine ourselves or to know how to disinfect everything. Lord, we want to take precautions, Lord, but I'm not depending on all that. I'm depending on you. I'm depending on your mercy and your grace. I'm depending on you for my health, for my wife and my children's health, for the health of the congregation, not only our physical health, but Lord, even more importantly than that, our spiritual health, that we would make preparations, that we would get into Goshen while there's still a Goshen to get into. Lord, it's not a physical building. It's not a geographic location. It's not a doctrinal move or a personality following. But Lord, it's under the blood of Jesus Christ by the token of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this age. Lord, I pray that each one that hasn't got into Goshen, that they would get into it quickly, Lord. I believe you allow times like this to come to shake our conscience up and help us to recognize that whether this is the beginning of the end or not, Lord, the end is coming and we need to be prepared. Lord, we need to be ready. Lord, not just with gas masks and Lysol spray, but spiritually, Lord, we need to be prepared. Lord, it's okay to stock up on groceries. It's okay to make sure our gas tanks are full before we come in for the night. It's okay to do those things, Lord. But more than those preparations, Lord, may we prepare spiritually to make sure we're ready for going home time, Lord. Lord, whether it's through sickness or old age or whether it's through dying in a car wreck or a plane crash or whatever, every one of us, Lord, unless we live till the time of the rapture, to the body change, Lord, where each one of us is going to go by the way of the grave eventually. Lord, we want to make sure we're ready because we don't know when our time would be. Lord, may it not just be coronavirus that keeps us prayed up, but Lord, every day in the good times, in the bad times, and when everything's just leveled off and normal, whatever it would be, Lord, help us to stay prayed up and ready, for we don't know when you'll come for us. We may take our own private rapture and you may call us across the curtain of time, Lord, and because of some circumstance, Lord, that your desire is for us to go on and be with you before the rest, Lord. We don't know when we'll take that step. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us. I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd give us wisdom. Lord, help us to take wise precautions, but not to let fear overcome us to where we live in anxiety and change our entire lifestyle over fear. Father, help us to find a balance somewhere in there, Lord. Help us as leaders, Lord. Help the pastors around the world, Lord. Message pastors, Lord. Help us to know when to stand and when to comply, and help us know when to stand firm and when to use wisdom, Lord. I don't know all to do and all not to do, but I'm depending on you. All I know to do is take it a day at a time and a service at a time and seek you for what to do, Lord. Be with us, Jesus. Be with each one, each family, each individual. Give them wisdom and leadership for their own homes and their own lives, what to do. But, oh, Lord, above all, may we make preparations. May we turn our hearts to you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, Lord, and ask it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, can't you see? Happy at a time like this, Brother Nathan. Oh, we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth, that we can have peace at a time like this. Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken. Let's sing it again together. Oh, can't you see why I'm happy? For I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. I'm following Jesus one step back. Sing it this way this morning. My pathway gets narrow. Oh, but he leads me on. I walk in his shadow, so my fears, they're all gone. Lord, my spirit grows strong. Each moment, each day, for my Jesus keeps leading. Aren't you thankful? Oh, each step of the way. Oh, I'm following Jesus. Leighton asked me to clarify, and I didn't think about the way I worded it, but I meant I won't be preaching till Wednesday or Sunday. We will be having service tonight, Lord willing, at 6:30 for those that can come. As far as I know, there'll be no change of plans with that. If you're wondering if we're going to have any cancellations or things like that, I don't know yet. We'll see how things go. If we are going to have a cancellation, I'll try to put it up on the church website, hopefully within 24 hours of whenever the service is going to be. And Leslie, let us know something last minute or something. If so, we would try to reach out and text everybody that we could or something like that. But as long as I'm able to, we'll try to, if there is any cancellation, notify on the website at least a day out. We will let you know what if there's any alternate plans as far as having a streaming service or an archive service or something like that. During those times, if we have to have cancellations, we'll keep all that updated on the website as much as possible. And then also on the church calendar there, upcoming, we'll try to have that on the main page, but also on the upcoming services calendar there, we'll try to notate it on that as well. God bless you richly. I have no problem shaking anybody's hand that wants to shake my hand. I'll be here at the back door as normal. But if you are uncomfortable doing that, don't worry. I'm not going to stand there with a clicker and count the ones that don't feel comfortable not shaking hands and put you on some special list or anything. You just nod your head and walk on by, and I'll nod my head back instead of shaking your hand. If you'd rather do it that way, I'm fine to do that either way that you'd like. And keep the service in prayer tonight. And then Brother Yarborough, Brother Layton was saying that you were not feeling very well. We want to have a word of prayer for Brother Yarborough before we close the service. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, for our brother, Lord, Satan trying to attack his body and not feeling well, Father, I just pray that you would touch him at this time and heal him, Lord. Lord, whatever, Father, that it is, Lord, that he's facing, I just pray that you'd move on the scene and heal him. Lord, may a testimony come forth from it. Give him strength in his body, Lord, I pray. And Lord, we just agree together as a body of believers for each one that, Lord, any sickness in our midst, Lord. And Father, for those, the prayer requests that we read today, Lord, may you move on the scene, grant comfort and healing for each one. We'll give you the glory and the praise for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you richly. Brother Ben, why don't you come and lead us in a song before we close?
Maybe always come together, but Lord, we come to you in worship, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, Lord, we will lift up. we sing it as we're dismissed this morning?
Oh, He's all I need. He's all I need. Oh, Jesus is all I need. Oh, He's all. Is all I need, and He's all I need.